A couple of weeks ago, my oldest friend, who was also my best man at our wedding, phoned me up with a cautionary tale. A couple were having a quiet candle-lit dinner, celebrating their 40th anniversary. And during the meal, by accident, the husband knocked the candle over. And in the little smoke that came up from the snuffed out candle, a genie appeared and said to the husband, "For your anniversary, I will give you one wish." The husband thought for a moment and said to the genie, "I'd like my wife to be 20 years younger than me." And the genie said, "Your wish is my command." Poof! And the man was 20 years older. What has that got to do with this morning's talk? Absolutely nothing. As Bimbi has already pointed out, this is our patronal service, the nearest Sunday to the 25th of January. And as is my practice, I've been thinking and praying over what I should say. And I felt that I wanted to share something of Paul's life that we could learn from. Then I looked up my records, and it had completely slipped my memory that actually, 4 years ago to the day, I had preached here on this very Sunday when Bimbi was seeing his folks in Sierra Leone. Then I thought, well, I wonder what I said 4 years ago. And there I found my sermon. And I thought, that was quite good, wasn't it? I bet nobody's remembered it. I'll use it again. But the Lord had other ideas. Actually, what I want to say this morning has actually been a real struggle. A struggle to arrive at what I believe the Lord wants to share with us, but to do so in a way which really encourages and builds us up as a family here. And I'm so grateful to the Lord in both Priscilla's talk last week and Vanessa's word about vulnerability, because those together helped me to see that what I believe the Lord wants me to say, I'd got the right sort of idea. Nevertheless, I think it is worth just repeating one little paragraph from 4 years ago, when I was asking the question, what was it about Paul which we could learn from here in Crofton? Of course, it would take a sermon series lasting years to cover every aspect of Paul's life. But nevertheless, he does encourage us on several occasions, encourages his churches to follow in his footsteps. For example, he wrote to the Corinthians, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me." Now for some, that could sound arrogant, blasphemous even. But in other places he puts that firmly in context. "Follow my example," he says, "as I follow the example of Christ." Of course we can learn from Paul, as we can learn from everyone else that we know, who perhaps is down the road a little bit further than us in one aspect or another. That's what the body of Christ is meant to do. So what can we learn this morning? what is it the Lord is highlighting that he wants us to learn this morning from the life and teachings of St. Paul? I believe it is this. It comes from something at the end of 2 Corinthians. Paul heard the Lord say this to him: "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Let me just put into context where Paul heard that from. Paul, as we all know, was constantly being battered, criticized, and attacked in everywhere he went. Often the worst attacks came from within the church. And in Corinth, there were these so-called super apostles who had set themselves up as being superior to Paul. You see, the point was that in Corinth, it was a centre for excellence in oratory, in public speaking. The content of what was said was actually largely irrelevant. It was all about how well it was presented, how well it was argued. And towards the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul decides that it's time that he defended his calling and ministry against these super apostles within the church, who claimed that because Paul wasn't actually a very good public speaker, despite writing some of the most amazing literature ever written on the face of this planet, publicly he was not very impressive. He was not much to look at. Some scholars even think that he spoke with a stutter. And therefore, they were disqualifying Paul from having any real influence. And his defence in 2 Corinthians 11 was to recite his CV, his background, to list the many struggles and hardships that he had, and finally, over into chapter 12, to share something of the revelations he had when the Lord took him by the Spirit into heaven. That's the background of our verse for this morning. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. After talking of these revelations, Paul goes on to say, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Instead of being crushed by that, Paul responds, "Therefore I will all the more boast about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As a complete aside, I don't know whether Eden and the others had any idea what I was going to be speaking on this morning, but the Lord knew. So that song, I believe, new to us, was so exciting when I came out and heard them singing it in the pre-worship. So what is it from this business of power and weakness that I feel the Lord wants to share with you this morning at the beginning of 2018? It's what it is, the heart of it, that I have agonized and prayed over, but I believe it's this: for us to accomplish all that God is calling us to do and to be here at St. Paul's, we must be prepared to recognize our weakness. For all he is calling us to do, here and out in the community, in our places of work and play, we must recognize our weaknesses. This is what Paul boasted of. This is what he understood by God saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Before I explore this a little bit more for what it means for us, I want to just clear up a couple of things that weakness isn't. First, weakness is not us saying, "Oh, I'm a miserable little worm, I can't do anything, I'm useless, I'm a waste of space." No, our weakness does not negate the truth of our identity as children of God, as made in the image and likeness of God. And second, I don't believe that Paul is primarily thinking about our weakness as our self-evident limitations, as temporal and finite beings, or for that matter, the fact that each of us has things that we're good at and things that we're not so good at. I might have a PhD in science, but I got 1% in French in my O-level mock. Languages are simply not my thing. So Paul's not talking about those kind of things. What weakness is he speaking of? I believe it's the weakness that we simply cannot do the things of the kingdom without the grace and power of God. Sounds obvious, doesn't it? But it's succinctly summarized in our motto for this year here at St. Paul's: for nothing will be impossible with God. As I was pondering that for this sermon, I was thinking the key word there is with God. Of course, nothing is impossible for God, but for us, nothing will be impossible with God. But the corollary of that is that nothing will be possible without God. This is what Paul understood by weakness. Only by God's grace did he have a ministry second only to Jesus. Only by God's grace was he able to plant umpteen churches, write nearly half the New Testament, and battle through more conflicts, persecutions, and hardships than I pray any of us will ever face. But what about the power bit? We've learned so much in recent years, have we not, about the power of God, moving in the power of the Spirit. We've already experienced this morning in our service spiritual gifts. We all know of wonderful testimonies of healing and other things which God has done for us and in us and through us, which would be just impossible in our own strength. And this is the power that Paul is talking about. Kingdom power, things done only by grace, not with our efforts. But it's with God that nothing is impossible. Many of you will remember that Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that was in the context of the vine and fruit bearing. But then Paul was able to tell the Philippians, I can do all things. Fortunately, he didn't stop there. Through him who gives me strength. You see, if we think about our weakness, and this is what I struggled with, if we emphasize our weakness to the level where we feel, well, what's the point? Can't do anything. That's not what Paul's talking about. That's why, again, in Corinthians, Paul tells us that we are fellow workers with God by his grace. So let us continue to pursue those wonderful expressions of the power of God. Let us continue to press in for healing, to learn more about words of prophecy, words of knowledge. Let us continue to comfort those who are in problems and difficulties. Let us continue to be hospitable. But by the grace of God, doing those things which, as Paul pointed out to the Ephesians, God has prepared beforehand for us to do. But I would be amiss, I believe, as I was thinking and praying, not to remind us of an ever-present danger in the life of the church, any church, even here. It comes from the reality of another expression of our weakness. And that is our sin. Of course, I believe that we are no longer sinners. That's not what defines us. We are saints. We have been crucified with Christ, and we have risen again to new life with him. We are new creations. But still, sin hovers. We're not immune from sinning. And there's one which is particularly relevant here in this talk of power and weakness. And it is, if you like, the Galatian problem. Paul wrote to the Galatians this, are you so foolish? after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Do you see, there's a tendency in all of us to start with God. It's wonderful. He's doing a new thing. And we go along for it a while and it works and it succeeds. But then we think, this is really good. Let's keep on doing it. A few years ago, there were a whole load of jokes about change in the church and how many Baptists it took to change a light bulb, or how many Pentecostals to change a light bulb. And the one that I always liked was, how many Anglicans did it take to change a light bulb? And the answer was, change? Or the church warden of 30 years was introduced to the bishop at a confirmation service, and the bishop said to the church warden, I expect you've seen a lot of changes in your 30 years here, to which the church warden said, yes, and I've opposed every one of them. Now, I know our church warden's not like that, I hope. But seriously, there is an enormous danger in any church that what God was doing yesterday and worked, we do today when he's moved on. I thought about it for myself. I've been preaching for just about 40 years now, and I can craft a pretty good sermon with a minimum of prayer and lip service to God. I trust this morning isn't such one. Why have I done it? Pride? Laziness? Actually, because there's probably a bit of the Galatians in me, as I believe there is in all of us. So let us constantly be looking out for this weakness, which is foolishness, that we listen to the Lord and we go at his pace, neither ahead nor dragging behind. And one last thing about our weakness, an expression of our weakness that Paul emphasizes, and it is this: our weakness in suffering. Paul, you may remember, said this: that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. On the face of it, it sounds as if Paul is some kind of masochist. But no, of course, he says, for Christ's sake. He recognizes that even in all the pain and suffering and hardships of life, his grace is sufficient. So for us here, when we face the pain and the hardships of sickness not yet healed, of cancer battles lost, of relationships of our loved ones that go wrong, of financial problems that we may suffer, let us rejoice. Not in the hardships themselves, that's sick, but in him whose grace is sufficient. Isn't God wonderful that he knows everything in advance? Priscilla's amazing sermon last week, reminding us about the deep Betty Joy, whatever's happening. And Vanessa's wonderful word about vulnerability. In fact, I looked up in my thesaurus, and if you look up weakness in a thesaurus, vulnerability is one of the listed synonyms. Four years ago, I preached to you as an honoured guest. Today, I speak to us. Jenny and I are so grateful that the Lord has led us to join you and for your amazing welcome. We're so excited about Bimbi's grace-filled leadership and about what the Lord has planned for us here. But most of all this morning, along with this year's motto, I believe we must fully embrace what the Lord said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then with Paul to respond, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Father, we just bless you that you are our power. You are our strength. You are the one who, even when we go through the most awful things in life, you are there. You are with us, before us and behind us, because your grace is sufficient. So may we say together, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen.